Are you into today's contemporary worship music or the good old-fashioned hymns? Do you like the carpet to be red, blue, green, or black? Do you like notes with fill-in-the-blanks or not? Let me invite you to join us. Hey guys, welcome to this week's Grace and Truth. I'm a grateful, gospel-centered disciple of Jesus Christ who struggles yet perseveres, and my name is Dave. Hope and pray that you're doing well. About those questions I asked earlier, you don't have to answer them. They are rhetorical. The reason why I made these questions rhetorical is because I wanted to talk about what each of these questions have in common. They are all preferences. Now, some of you may be thinking, whoa, wait a second, Dave. I hold to these convictions. I thought you were against debating on secondary issues like Calvinism, Arminianism, dispensationalism, eschatology, baptism, predestination, free will, etc. How can you tell me that I need to set these issues aside? Well, you're right. I don't believe in debating over secondary issues. Only one difference, though. Carpet colors, song styles, and message notes, those aren't secondary issues. They certainly aren't primary issues either. They are actually known as preferences. We all have preferences. For example, I have friends who are fans of the Oakland A's, but I prefer the San Francisco Giants. I hope they don't mind me sharing this here on the podcast. Some friends of mine are all from Mac computers. I don't. Windows all the way, baby. Some like Androids. I prefer iPhone and iPad. The list goes on and on. Out of all the stupidest things we debate about, it's preferences. But unlike convictions, where we can still hold to what we believe in, preferences are the least important. You may have to adjust and give up certain preferences. Now, will that be damaging to your walk with the Lord? No, not really. Preferences don't really have anything to do with theology. You can set aside your preferences to put others before yourself. You can't do that with convictions. That would be straight out compromising, and that's bad. Let me give another example. Before I became a part of Celebrate Recovery, I was a strong proponent of fill-in-the-blanks in sermon notes at church. But then I had to challenge myself. It actually started at my home church, Valley Community Church. They don't use fill-in-the-blanks. They just provide a spot for you to take notes. The slides that they provide have been helpful too. Most of the time, they go verse by verse in their studies. They will even give incredible key points that come in their own slide. Here are some examples. The gospel is the person and work of Jesus. Here's another one. Prayer is the language of dependence. And this one is my favorite so far. Hope is not, I wish so, will it be so. Hope is, I know so, so I wait. These key points have been embedded into my noggin and have helped me a lot. Since then, I have learned that I need to challenge myself when it comes to following along with the pastor in his notes. Here's a more recent example. There's a church called Three Crosses, which is where I will usually go to on Thursday evenings for their young adults ministry, SOMA. Early this year, they installed their new senior pastor to the pulpit. My pastor and I are very good friends of his, and we have a great respect for him. One of the things that makes him different from his predecessor is that he doesn't usually have fill-in-the-blanks in his sermon notes. Some people on the world of social media, and I don't recommend that you ever do this, decided to complain that they were not thrilled about the transition, all because of no fill-in-the-blank sermon notes. Well, with respect to them and in defense of the pastor, I would digress, mainly because he isn't obligated to share messages that tickle the ears of the people who come to the church building, nor should he be required to put fill-ins in his messages. The gospel is supposed to encourage us, but also challenge us too. If we're not being challenged, we're not growing. The pastor would be causing an incredible disservice to the church if he doesn't allow God to use him to challenge us. As I mentioned earlier, it took me a while to get used to this as well when I changed churches. When it comes to issues like this, we need to be careful about our expectations and set our preferences to the side so that we can allow God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, to continue to do the work of sanctification in our lives. Finally, The anonymous writer in Hebrews makes it clear to us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Guys, let's cut our pastors some slack when it comes to our preferences. They are human just like us. We need to encourage them too. They have a lot to do when it comes to shepherding our flock. For a transcript of this program, visit my website, chewmadenew.com, and look for the blog post simply titled, Preferences. Thanks for listening, and if you'd like to hear more of these programs, please let me know. You can contact me at my website, chewmadenew.com, or you can call me at 510-516-CHEW. That's 510-516-2439. Or you can send me a message on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And do you know someone who's hurting and needs hope? Maybe you're listening to this program and need hope. Well, regardless, check out my testimony from Celebrate Recovery on YouTube. And if you were encouraged by it and learned something from it, please share it with others and use the hashtag Gospel-Centered Autism Awareness whenever you do so. You can find my testimony on YouTube as Celebrate Recovery Testimony Dave Chu, or you can go to chewmadenew.com and click on the button, click here to watch my testimony. Until next time, peace out and God bless. Cinco's!